Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer as we get ready to go into the lesson today? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again on this blessed day that you have blessed us to gather and come together and assemble together once again. So, Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. Therefore, Lord, we invite your spirit to be with us, Lord God, as we take this journey once again in your word. I ask that you word my mouth to rightly divide your word as I give it unto the people, and that you would touch them and give them a heart to seek you about what they hear. So, Father, I give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today, doing a little earlier broadcast, normally on, for those of you that follow, know that on Mondays I normally come on from 6 to 6:45, but I had to do a change of a schedule here for right now, and so I am been doing a 4:30 broadcast today, 4:30 to 5:15. You may ask, is this set? No, it's not set, but today I'm doing a 45-minute broadcast on this Monday, and the title of this is, How Can I Tell If These Messages Are From God, Revised, Part 3. This is the third and final part. For those of you who have been following on the broadcast, know that I've been going over some steps that you can use to apply to not just to see if these messages are for real, but anything that anybody brings to you that's supposed to be of God, you can apply these steps. Amen. Like I said, if you apply step number one, I went over with you, and what you're applying it to doesn't pass step number one, you ain't got to worry about the other six. Amen. But if it passed step number one and you want to go through applying all these steps, you can. And you know if it passed all the steps, definitely is of God. But, yeah, amen. So today we're looking at the last two steps, steps number 6 and 7. And I told you this comes from also from the late Brother Kenneth E. Hagin had a book, wrote a book called 7 Steps to Judging Prophecy. And once again, I tell you, it's a blessing of a book. I want to encourage you all, you know, hey, buy the book. It's a thin book. It's not many pages, but, you know, it's pinpoint things from the scriptures you can use to tell whether something from God or not. So having said that, I went through the first 5 steps with you. And today I'm going through the last 2 that you can apply to see whether these messages are from God, or you can apply to anything anyone come to you with and say that it is of God. Amen. So we're going to look at step number 6 today, and we're going to look at a couple of scriptures from the Bible, and then we go to one of the messages. Let's first go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I hope that you are at least writing this down, you know, just going back and look over it yourself. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to go to verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, as we talk about step number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. And the word of God says, For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Now, one of the things I want you to see in that verse when he said, ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage. Okay? Now, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Now, remember that, what we read here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 15 in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8 and 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Okay? So step number 6 that you can apply to see whether these messages are from God or whether you see anything that's brought to you, whether I don't care if an angel visits you or somebody bring a book and tell you this is the book of God, you need to follow, whatever. Step number 6 is, does it bring liberty or bondage? Okay? Does it bring liberty or bondage? Okay? And one of the things you can do that brings people in bondage is when you don't let them exercise their free will, their free choosing. That's bondage. Okay? You know, if you can't, you know, be free to exercise your free will, that's bondage. Hallelujah. It is not of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Straight up bondage. And so does the message, or any message that presented to you or says come from God, does it put you at a place where you can't choose whether to accept it or not? You know, and some people bring people to bondage and they claim that they're giving them a message from God. They say, hey, you got to listen to what it said because I said it. If anybody else said it, you don't need to listen to it. You know, all that kind of nonsense. That's bondage, okay? That's bondage. Glory to God. Now, I want to read a verse from one of the messages. And this ain't the only one God speaks to this, but I want to read from one of the messages to show you that these messages doesn't produce bondage. It produces liberty. And it's a message that the Lord sent out May the 16th, 1930. And this is what he said in one of these verses in the message. It's called the 21st message, being the 21st time that Jesus sent his angel. Now, listen to what he said. He said, "Remember the great controversy between Christ and Satan is on. This is the time when men's hearts will be tried. Take the message I have given you to the people and let them choose whom they will serve." Do you hear that? "But take it in love. Be ye humble in your work and true to the trust the Lord has placed upon you. Let righteousness and justice follow you wherever you go." Do you hear that? See, he said, in giving this message, he said, give this message along with the others to the people and let them choose whom they will serve. Now, if the angel of the Lord were bringing a message that spoke to be from God and was saying, hey, take this message to the people and tell them they better accept. They better take it. Now, I ain't taking no for an answer. You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not of God. Do you hear that? Some people have, and let's get real. Some people have told, you know, let's say, for example, a man of God, or supposed to be a man of God, had told a woman, said, God is giving you to be my wife. Now, you got to take it. You have no choice. You got to take it. No, that's bondage. That's bondage, okay? And so you get into an area of, quote, witchcraft, but that's bondage. Same way with a woman. The woman come to the man and say, God told me you ought to be my husband. You got to take it. You know, you got to be there. You got, that's bondage. Even if God sent a message and said, this person to be your spouse, still God leads them to choose whether to accept the call or not, okay? Now, of course, if you don't accept the call that comes from God, yeah, you suffer consequences. But yet still, God gives you a free will. Hallelujah. You understand that? Thus, the messages, anything that come be brought to you that spoke be from God, if it produce bondage, okay, then it's not of God. You understand what I'm saying? If it's taking you against your will, okay, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, God ain't sending a man of God to rule another man's house. You understand that? Over him and his own wife and his kids. That's not of God. Okay? Amen. You know, if you was at home, men, with your wives, and all of a sudden, the wee hours of the morning, you hear somebody all in your house, and they knocking and hitting it all in the house, and you go in there, you look in the room, and you see Pastor Joe. And Pastor Joe, and you said, Pastor Joe, what you doing in my house at night? Well, God told me to fix this room up and out. Okay, but you mean God wouldn't tell Pastor Joe to come to you first or let you know something or talk to you about it first? No. Not just have you just bust up in the man's house in the middle of time, right? Do you understand that? And Joe said, well, this is from God, and you got to let me do it. Well, that's bondage. You understand that? Any message that spoke to me from God would not put you in bondage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not going to put you in bondage. And these messages that the angelic being has been bringing, that's from Jesus Christ, you look through the message, it started telling people, choose. Choose. Remember when God used Moses? And didn't not God have Moses tell the people, that choose this day, choose whom you will serve? He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Okay? Well, God said in the scriptures, I am God, I change not. So if God was giving people a choice, even in the Old Testament, people that was unregenerated, now if he was giving them a choice to choose, why would he change today? He's not changing people. People change. But God is not changed. You get what I'm saying? So if it produce bondage, it's not of God. And see, if you look today, there are some who claim to be of God, and especially, and I've said this many times on many of the broadcasts, especially those who have called themselves prophets, who have come with messages like that, okay? They have come with a message, thus says the Lord, and it's a message of bondage and tell you got to do it my way, you can't do it no other way, and you can't ask nobody else. I mean, come on, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So if it produce bondage, it's not of God. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, once again, Almighty God gives you a choice, okay? You can choose, you know, God will tell you what's right, what's wrong. But guess what? He's going to let you choose, okay? You notice that, take the Bible for instance. The Bible full of blessings and also tell you about curses. But don't you know that even out of all of that, God let you choose? Yeah. Yeah, God, see, God lets you choose. Because remember, the Bible said God is love, amen? Love will let you choose. See, people, it's, you know, many times you find people trying to take people against their will and make them do. No. No. You know, I'm not even comfortable with that, people. I'm not comfortable with that. This is like husband and wives, you know. We're supposed to freely want to do for one another, not getting to a point where we're trying to make somebody, make them do, okay? You know, hallelujah. And you got, like I said, people out there who claim themselves to be prophets and all that, they are, you know, enforcing this, and I see it with some, this bondage type spirit, okay? Amen. You know why? One of the reasons why? Because, see, they see how the people hold them up. You know, you got people out there thinking that, quote, men and women of God are gods. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? You see it. It's just like, you know, they worship the people. You know, I thank God for what he is doing with many of his people, but they're not him. They're not God. You get what I'm saying? They're not him. There's only one true and living God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. No other God. No other God besides him. Glory to God. Now, this brings us to our seventh and final step. Okay. And let's go to 1 John chapter 2 in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 20 and 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. This is bringing us to our last step that you can use to apply to see whether, you know, these messages or anything that anybody bring you, okay, that they telling you said this is of God. You know, like I said, God tells us in the scriptures, and in this series, I started off with a scripture, I think it was 1 John chapter 4, where the Lord said, beloved, believe not every spirit, try the spirit. In other words, God is telling us not to be so naive, okay? Not to be naive. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. Verse 20 says, but ye have an unction with the Holy One, and ye know all things. Okay? Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth where? In you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, when he said any man don't, you know, you don't need any man to teach you, now, he's not saying that no one can teach you the word of God. That person can teach you according to what God has given them, okay? But you don't have to become totally 100% dependent. You know, for example, in our studies, we're supposed to be balanced. You're supposed to have Sunday school or Bible study through the week, and you're supposed to have your at-home study, okay? And many times people get off balance. They think that. Some think that the only way they can learn anything is that they can only learn it at Sunday school, okay? Then you got other people who think, well, the only thing they can learn, only time they can learn anything is that they stay at home, okay? And God is letting you know you ain't got to be totally dependent on man. Yes, God use your pastor and all that to teach you the word of God. But once again, you got some people won't even pick up the word, you know, if their pastor's not giving them, you know, or teaching them. Okay, so some people become totally dependent on man. But what God is letting you know here, he mentions the unction and he mentions the anointing. Okay, the anointing, he said, abideth in you. That's the seventh step. The anointing abideth in you. Okay, when the anointing or unction operates within you, what happens? The Holy Ghost, who this right here is dealing with, witnesses to you of the truth. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? He said what he said about his spirit. He would send the comforter where he will abide with you and dwell where? In you. Okay? In you. So the Holy Ghost in you will witness to the truth. That's why he said in verse 27 about the anointing, Holy Ghost, he said that it is true and is no lie, and even as they have taught you, ye shall abide in him. It is true. Okay? And in John chapter 14, he said what? The spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So if he deal with nothing but truth, then you know he's going to witness to you if it's something true. If it ain't true, then he ain't going to witness to that. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, let me read a verse from you out of the one of the messages. It's called the 63rd message. Okay? And this message was sent out January the 2nd, 1944. Now listen to what he says in here about the messages. Listen to what he said about the spirit. He said, let this go to the church. Let the messages be published in other languages that others may know this way. For the spirit will bear witness and they shall know. Did you hear that? He said the spirit will bear witness. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The spirit will bear witness. See, sometimes someone can speak something and you get an instant witness by the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Well, if you get that instant witness right there, then hey, it's true. Okay. But then sometimes you may not get anything. And that's why I told you, said, you know, there's times that I have received from the Lord truth. Well, I didn't get a witness of the spirit right then, but when I saw him, he revealed it unto me. Well, you say, well, why is that? Well, sometimes God may want to reveal things to you where you one-on-one with him or what have you. Sometimes you may have some distractions going on, okay? Now, if you was asked about something or told something and you got a disturbing feeling, well, then you know it's something wrong with the message. You understand what I'm saying? So the Lord had his messenger to tell the people, say, hey, let this message be published in other language. And he said, the spirit is going to bear witness. Okay. I think sometimes some of us as Christians, we think that the Holy Ghost is in us just to sit there and just be sitting around. You understand that? See, when you got saved, God put his spirit in you. And he put it for a reason. He didn't put his spirit in you so he can just sit around in there and just occupy space. That is not, when you read the scriptures, especially John 14, John 16, you'll find out that the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 8, he is in us for a particular reason, for a function. There's something he does. Once again, he's not there just to sit around, you know, and just be there, occupying space, okay? You get what I'm saying? He's there for a reason. He has a purpose for being there, okay? And that same Holy Ghost will witness to you, amen, of the truth. Now, remember, the Holy Ghost is not going to witness to a lie. And see, we got to know the witness of the Spirit, okay? Now, we all miss it at times. You know, sometimes people have heard something. They say, well, the Holy Ghost witnessed to me that that's true. But then they go look in the Bible and find out what they got a witness to is different from what the Bible says or what the Word said in the Bible. And see, the Holy Ghost is not going to contradict the written Word. You get what I'm saying? So that's why we got to get to know the Spirit of God, and that comes through prayer, study of the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have people that, and many times, like I said, we all have missed it. We all have missed it. I know that for me, when I found out this work was true, And some of y'all have heard my story. When I came into, quote, the church, well, when I first started coming to the church services, I wasn't saved. And the reason why I was coming, because I was going with a young lady who was associated with the church. That's the honest truth. We were, quote, boyfriend and girlfriend, because we had been going together since a little bit in high school. And that relationship extended on out when I graduated. And so she invited me to church services, and I went, be honest with you, because of her. I was not going because I wanted to know God. That's the honest truth. But when I started going and I started reading the Word for myself, it became interesting. And some of the things I heard preached from the Word, some of the things I read, it caught my attention more. And so the late brother Albert Clark, who one of the preachers at the time who would say, if you don't know if this work is true, you better pray and ask God to give you a witness. Ask God about this work. And if this work is true, ask the Lord to witness to you. And I did what he said. I did what he said. And I used to hear him many times say that. And I did what he said, and I found out by what? This step number 7, by the witness of the Spirit, that this was true. Now, did I know all these 7 steps at that time? No, I didn't. But this 7th step I'm going over with you now is how I got a witness from the Holy Ghost that this message, that it was true, that Jesus had been sending an angel with instructions from his throne. Amen. And from then on, people, thank God, the Lord said the same. This year will make 21 years since I've been saved. No, I'm sorry, 31 years since I've been saved. And it will make 30 years since I've been in the ministry. And I thank God for it. And I mean, to be honest with you, man, this time it flew by, because that 30 sounded like a long time, but it didn't seem like a long time to me many times. It's like that time just flew, okay? But I'm grateful for it. So that's the 7 steps covered in these 3 parts here. Now, if you are a first-time listener and you just come in on this part 3, the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio is record the sermons, the teachings, whatever you want to call it, what we do. And so if you are on this page listening, you may see a picture of a Bible. It may be on your right side. If you click on it, a Dropbox should show up. And when it do, you'll see episodes in there. When you see episode, click on it and listen. You can listen to all the episodes that we have done, you know, since we've been on Blog Talk. It goes all the way back, because this coming December, Lord said the same, will be 5 years we've been on Blog Talk Radio, okay? So you can listen to part 2 and part 1 of this, How Can I Tell If These Messages Are From God? Revised, part 2 and 1. You can listen to it. And that's why I want to encourage you to do it, because when you come in the middle or the end of something, many times it's hard to grasp the overall meaning or teaching that, you know, that's being done. You know, they're just like Sunday school. And this is where some people mess up at. Some mess up, they don't even care. I'm going to be honest with you. And some may be messing up, they don't think it's nothing much to it. But when the pastor says Sunday school start at 9:30, start at 9:30, not 9:40, not 9:50. And when he says start at 9:30, let's say start on time, but and let's say Sunday school normally lasts an hour, hour and a half. Now, I know some of y'all heard me say this many times. You might, oh, he go with this again. But it's important. It's important, okay? You might not think it is, and I'm pretty sure pretty soon God finna show you, because you know, when we have an appointment with the Lord, we need to do our best to try to keep it and try to be on time. Because when you just drag it in there, that just show how much care you have for it. You get what I'm saying? And see, a lot of us, be honest with you, we show more care for our jobs than we do come to the Sunday school. I guarantee you, some of your supervisors on your jobs, if I were to go to ask them about you, they'll say, oh, great worker, always on time. I ain't saying never miss a day, but we knew something wrong. They were late or miss a day or whatever. But then I go to some of your pastors and ask them about it and say, well, they come to church. You know, sometimes they miss quite a bit sometimes. Well, pastor, do they come on time? Well, so-and-so come in 20, 30 minutes after, stuff like that. No, people, look at the message you sent it. And what if you have visitors? What if you tell your visitor, hey, we have Sunday school start at 9:30. And they get there on time, but you ain't there. You don't get there till 10 o'clock, 30 minutes late. You know, I was involved in a situation like that before. I didn't do it, but I knew someone else that did. And that was the first and only time so far that I have come across. Well, actually, it's been 2 different occasions, to be honest with you. One occasion, a particular person maybe would have come to serve it once or twice a year, and that's not no exaggerating, people. okay? And they turned around one day and invited a person to come, told a person to come, told the person what time. And when the person came and saw that they weren't there, they was like, hey, so-and-so invite me. What time they get here? And they had to be told the truth. Well, this person only come once or twice a year. And they were like, say what? You know, and that was it. And it's sad to say, never saw that person so far again that came to visit. But anyhow, God has been giving me to go over this work once again with you, the listeners. Some of y'all have heard it. Some of y'all have not heard it. And he had let me know, this is why, you know, as I'm doing these topics again, I put the word revised, because God let me know, say, hey, I could give you more light on the subject than you had 4 years ago. And I'm okay, Lord. And he has showed me more to what I spoke on about this work 4 years ago. He's shown me more things, you know, on it now. Hallelujah. So this is very important, people. And like I said, some of you is going to just ultimately dismiss what I'm telling you about the Lord sending his angel, because it's something you never heard before. And you're going to be thinking, oh, that's just his church trying to, you know, promote something. Let me tell you something. That's far from that. And number two, that's one of our problems today in Christianity. I ain't talking about these other religions. I'm talking about Christianity. It's too much our church, my church, and all that church stuff. We so separated, it's ridiculous. Many times, we won't receive a word from one another because we're not members of the same church. Just like I'm telling some people now about the sending of the angels. Well, some people ain't going to hear this. Why? Because I'm not a member of their church. Okay? And they're going to think that I'm trying to promote the church I belong to. And see, that mentality has been going around Christianity this day. Especially even more since we had, you know, the falling away of the church that Christ set up. Okay? Amen. And during the Dark Ages, when all these, you know, when they had the Reformation at the Catholic Church, and see all these other churches come about, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, and all that. But see, we separated. And see, here's the thing. We don't want to face the hard down truth that we separated. Yeah, some of us would confess it. Some of us would admit it. But when it really get down to it, and we know that the only solution is that there got to be unity, there's a problem. I remember, I think this has been 2 years ago, I had a dream, and God was kind of was showing me on the lines about this. And I remember me, and it was nothing but men in this room, and these men was ministers. And I know one of them. And so everybody's associating and mingling together, just talking. And so in the dream, I turn around and say, hey, let us all come together and be one. People, it got so quiet in there, it was pitiful. Now you say, well, what did that mean? Sometimes quietness means I ain't with you on that. And that's what I got in the dream. I didn't get no quietness because they like, I want to listen to the message he's bringing. No, I got the quietness that let me know they wasn't for that. And like I said, this one know all different religions now. We're talking about these are supposed to be Christians that was in this room, okay? And I said, well, let us all come together and be one. Psh, it got quiet. Remember that old commercial back in the days when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen? That's how it got. Except they wouldn't listen to me to want to really hear the message. They got quiet, and that quietness told me, we ain't for that. And see, we have the knack of thinking that Almighty God, our Creator, our Father, the Father of those that are born again, that he is perfectly okay with the condition of Christianity today. We actually think that. We're preaching more about rapture and being snatched up and caught away than we are preaching about true unity. We act like God is going to snatch us and put us in heaven separated like we are. If that be the case, then there should be a Baptist side, a Methodist side, a Pentecostal side, an Episcopalian side in heaven. But you don't read nothing about that in Scripture. Interesting, ain't it? You don't read nothing about, well, there was a separate place in heaven. Well, like when Jesus said, my Father had many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, don't imagine one different denominations. You understand that? We don't want to face the hard down truth. Some of us talk about it and say, hey, we divided, we separated. But when it comes down to the number one solution, which has got to be unity, there's a problem. There's a problem. You understand what I'm saying? A big time problem. Glory to God. Excuse me for a second there. Beloved, has someone at the door. I'm the only one here at the house, so praise be to God. But as I was saying before, there is a problem in Christianity. And guess what? Our God is going to solve it through this work of restoring. Yeah, he's going to solve it through this work of restoration. Amen. I'm here to tell you this, because I got a few minutes left on the broadcast. Christianity as a whole is not going to continue the way we're going. God, you know, when God talks about his church being presented without wrinkle, spot, or blemish, I believe we really didn't understand the depthness of what he was saying. Okay? Because our separation is spots on our garments, and it has to be rid of. You get what I'm saying? Oh, I hope you get what I say. I hope you really hear that. Because, see, many of us quote that scripture. Oh, God said he want a church and present a church without wrinkle, spot, or blemish, but we didn't really understand the depth of this spot and blemishes. And we failed to understand that our separation in Christianity is spots and blemishes on our garment. It has to be rid of, okay? It has to be removed. And only those that repent and accept the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's doing in these last days and bringing his people together is going to have that spot and blemish removed. But if you don't want to accept it, which that's your choice, then that spot and blemish is going to be there. Amen. See, we're preaching and teaching more about rapture, but then we ain't talking about the wrinkle, spot, and blemish. Okay? And see, in the rapture teaching, we're saying any day we can be gone. Well, if we can be gone any day, so you're telling me that the wrinkle, spot, and blemish is removed. Well, not when we're still operating like we are. It ain't removed. Glory to God. Thank God for his blessed word of the Lord today. Thank God for what he's doing, because guess what, people? He's doing a magnificent thing. Amen, amen. Glory be to God. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day and a golden opportunity you've given. Therefore, Lord God, I ask that you will bless your servant here this day with your word, and bless us, Lord God, and bless us for those who are listening to take this word back to you and get a witness for themselves. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for strength that you have given me, enable me to do this, and I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for this broadcast. Don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock, Brother Emmanuel Murphy will be on with another broadcast. Look for the advertisement then. And the Lord say the same. I will be back tomorrow. Look for the advertisement. Amen. So I come back tomorrow to you with another message. So this is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.